Hello and welcome to Grow by Cassandra. Man, it's been a while since I got on and was able to speak with you all, and I missed you. I hope you missed hearing from me because I miss knowing that you are on the other end of this podcast. So today I want to talk about a topic that is near and dear to my heart, a lesson that I've repeated over and over again, and in this stage and in this season and in this level of life, I feel like I'm finally getting it. Have you ever heard about seeing a glass as either half full or half empty, right? And oftentimes we think of that example as saying a person is either optimistic or pessimistic. They're either a dreamer or they're a realist. They're either positive or they're negative. But I really wish that someone would have gone a little bit further and explained to really shed light on what that example teaches us. It teaches us the principles or the mindsets of scarcity and abundance. Have you ever heard of scarcity mentality or abundance mentality? I've learned that our mind is incredibly powerful, and how we posture and position our thoughts has a great impact and dictates a lot of what happens in our life. I say a lot, and I really want to say everything that happens in our life. I think that's probably more accurate. So the scarcity mentality is, I don't have enough, so... And we go on and on and on with what that means. If I don't have enough, I can't spend this. If I don't have enough, I can't give. If I don't have enough, I'll never get. If I don't have enough, I'll never be able to. If I don't have enough, I mean, it's a dark, dark hole that you can find yourself in when you're operating purely out of a scarcity mentality, out of the thought that I don't have enough. Now, abundance says, there's enough out there. So, and even when I said that, my face lit up. Like, there's enough out there. So that puts a smile on my face. There's enough out there. Maybe it's not right in front of me. Maybe it's not in my hand right now, but there's enough out there. And so that changes the way that I operate in the world. There's enough out there. There's enough money. There's enough love. There are enough people to build relationships with. There are enough opportunities for jobs or for positions or businesses. There's enough time. I have the same 24 hours that Oprah Winfrey has, that Barack Obama has, that Jesus Christ had. I mean, there are great people who are doing great things with the same amount of time that you and I have. And if we really operate out of that abundance mentality, we'll think of ways to really maximize everything that we have. Okay, so I already talked about the categories, right, of life when we are thinking about what we do or do not have and looking at the glass as either too half full or half empty. We're typically looking at money, relationships, jobs, time, sleep, energy, whatever it is. But this week I took a really bold step and I said no. I saw the glass that looked really half empty. I looked at it and I said, you know what? This glass is half full. And I took a bold step and I said no to something. I stood my ground, willing to lose and risk something truly important to me. And I've done that before. And it's difficult because I wonder, will I ever get the opportunity to feel what I feel right now? Will I ever get the opportunity again? Will I be able to teach abroad again? Will I be able to find a man who loves me again? Will I be able to take this trip again? Will I be able, you know, it could go on and on and on and on again. I mean, on and on and on and on and on. Opportunities come, and yes, they go, and then they come again. That is abundance mentality. So my no, my willingness to risk it all, to look at the glass as being half full and imagine all the possibilities of that glass being poured into, guess what? It opened up a door of opportunity. within less than 24 hours of me being willing to risk it all and looking at the glass as half full, abundance came knocking at my door. And it's so funny because I've heard this. If you do what you love, if you pursue what's right, if you work on your relationship with God, there's so many phrases and scriptures and things that we say, like opportunity will chase you down, right? Opportunity will come knocking at your door. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all other things will be added to you. Those are principles of abundance. Keep the main thing the main thing. I've always heard that. I heard that a lot in Mary Kay. Keep the main thing the main thing. I think that was Gloria Mayfield Banks. I want to give credit where credit is due. And if you keep... Nope, that wasn't her. But she's amazing. What was that? Can't think of her name. Okay, but if you keep the main thing the main thing, guess what? Keep the main thing the main thing. Keep your eye on the prize. Stay in a position to receive. Be a partaker of the abundance mindset, and great things will pour into your life. So I love to plan, and I realize that some of my planning is actually my anxiety about the future, my need to be in control, and I mean, it's probably really deep. It is really deep. But I decided yesterday as I planned out my November and I planned out all things up into Christmas break, what I'm going to do, goals I'll achieve, how I'll reward myself, I deleted that notepad. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to clear my schedule because this thought is actually scarcity. This over planning is actually scarcity. I'm thinking if it doesn't get done right now in this order, if I don't block out every ounce of my time, if I don't schedule myself in this way, I will never have the opportunity to meet these goals again. And that's just not true. And so when I realized that I was operating out of a scarcity mentality, I deleted the note. I was like, you know what? November can be bigger and better than I can ever plan it if I let go of my need to be in control, if I let go of my scarcity mentality, if I let go of the fear that some of these things can only happen in November, and if they don't happen in November, my life as I know it is over, right? Really dramatic, but I mean, it leads to that type of thinking. So I cleared my November, and I'm excited about what God will bring into my life in November, and I'm going to operate out of abundance. I teach online, I tutor, I lead after school activity. I also have two jobs in one. I'm a literacy coach, and I'm also teaching a sixth grade class. I am editing and revising my book, planning a women's retreat for the winter, welcoming my family to Costa Rica for a family trip in November, and then thinking about my vacation for December. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm tired even just telling you what I'm doing. And December, wanting to take a trip to Houston and then to visit my family in Missouri, but also like in the back of my head, really, really wanting to hit up Mexico, Belize, Colombia, and South Africa. Okay. I'm exhausted just telling you what I want to do. Here's the thing. All those things will happen. They won't happen necessarily by the end of 2018, and that's okay, because if I keep the main thing the main thing, at the beginning of the year, I declared this year I will be financially free. And every decision that I've made this year, a couple didn't really fit with that end of year goal, but majority of the decisions that I've made, like 98% of the decisions I've made this year, have kept me in line with that goal, and it will happen. And I have to let some of these other things be and trust in God and trust in abundance and trust that, you know, it's going to get taken care of. I give you and I say that goal, and I think I've said it on a few of these episodes, because one, it just repeats, like words are very powerful. So it helps me to remind me that that's my goal. It helps me to put that out so that people know, so they can ask me about it. It helps with accountability, and words are powerful. So it's good to say what it is that you're doing. The other part of it is I want to use that as an example. So I made a plan to get out of debt a few years ago, actually. But just this past 2 years, I've actually seen the light at the end of the tunnel. And this year, I'm like, you know what? It's happening. I don't want to put it off any further. So I made a plan, and all I needed to do was stick to my plan. That plan didn't include extra jobs, extra money, extra income. Now that all is good for saving and for some future plans that I have, but those plans come after financial freedom. But me being human and being Cassandra and being a planner and being a little anxious and being a little, needing to be in control and needing to say I did 1,000 things and I got out of debt, you know, just me needing to be great, I guess. I decided, oh, let me teach online. Let me tutor after school. Let me also take my only free day that I would have during the week and let me make sure that I go ahead and pack that too with an after school activity that can potentially help me in my career and also pay a little extra on top of bills. It's too much, y'all. It's too much, and I'm already committed to those things, but it's way too much. And I realized, and I'm realizing now, that the moments when I feel like, oh my gosh, I don't have time, I don't have energy, I can't do my editing for this book, I'm not able to plan this retreat, I'm not podcasting as much as I want to, it's because I've jam-packed my schedule with things because of scarcity that have prevented and blocked some of the abundance that could have flowed into my life. Flooded and flown into my life, right? I blocked some of that. I've blocked it by commitments. I've blocked it by scarcity. I've blocked it by jam-packing my schedule. I want to live in the abundance mentality. So guess what? 2019, and I'm starting in November with clearing my schedule. In December, clearing my schedule. 2019 is going to be about space for the abundance. I'm saying that now, and I'm going to repeat it. You're going to hear it again. And everything in my life is going to be in line with space for abundance. There are so many things that God wants to bring into our lives. There are so many things that He wants to do. There are so many people and opportunities and money and relationships and jobs and time. And I believe even sleep that He wants to give us. But we're blocking it because we're booking ourselves solid out of a scarcity mentality. So in 2019, but I'm preparing and I'm starting now, I'm going to be so open to receive more love and more joy and more peace and more Jesus. And I pray and I hope and I believe that those same things can be poured into your life. I invite you to shift your mind, to shift your words, and shift your input. Sometimes the things that we're listening to, or the people that we're listening to, or even our own thoughts that we entertain and verbalize are causing us harm. They are blocking abundance. What are you allowing to speak and to seep into your heart and your mind? What are you blocking by your perspective? What are you blocking by your perspective? Make a shift and watch God reward your trust and your belief and your openness to Him and in Him. That's really what it is. When I take my hands off, I realize Jesus has already taken the wheel. Have you heard that? Jesus, take the wheel, right? When life is out of control and I'm so busy and I don't have this and I can't manage this and this. And we say, Jesus, take the wheel. But Jesus is like, I have the wheel. If you take your hand off of it, I could get us where we're going. And I love that it's nothing more than a mindset shift. For me, it started with reflection, and it starts with words and thoughts and actions. Actually, it starts with thoughts, because thoughts become words, right? And then your words become your actions or your habits. And so if we want to go backwards, we want to think about our thinking, and that comes from reflection. What am I thinking? You know, when a thought comes into your head, like, oh my gosh, I don't have enough, pump the brakes. It could be that's something I can't do right now, but I can do it later, right? So I can make a choice now. I can't take a trip to Colombia in December, but baby, once this debt is gone and my schedule is cleared and abundance is here, you best believe 2019 is going to be a year for space for travel, space for money, space for business, space for land, space for opportunities, space for relationships, space for money, space for money, space for money. Because I have dreams and goals and aspirations that are big. And I know you do too. And oftentimes it takes a little money to fund our dreams, but they can be funded. I truly, truly believe that. That's all I have. Choose abundance, choose abundance, choose abundance. Think abundantly, write abundantly, speak abundantly, and act abundantly. I hope that you've enjoyed this episode of Grow by Cassandra. And if you don't do anything else till the next time that we meet, I want you to grow. Bye-bye. Life is magical. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Grow by Cassandra. I am so excited to be recording this episode. And the reason why is because I love talking to you, but I also love this topic of gratitude. I had a friend who reached out with a mental health challenge that I shared on my Facebook page, Grow by Cassandra. And I jumped the gun and I started early, but day two is to write down 10 things that you're grateful for. And I love this challenge because I know that there was a time in my life when I was not grateful. I wasn't grateful to be alive. I wasn't grateful for family, for friends. Like, I just didn't have really any gratitude. And it was a time where I was really depressed and hopeless and sad, but at the same time, very self-aware. I was aware that I wasn't grateful, and I was also aware that I had things to be grateful for, but I was honest with myself, and I wasn't grateful. And so fast forward 5 or so years, and I'm living in a place of gratitude. I still have some of the same frustrations and the same challenges in my life, but I am in a healthier mental state, and I have learned the power and the tool of gratitude. And so when this challenge came about and I had to write down 10 things, I'm like, oh, that's going to be so hard to just narrow down to 10 things. Because if you sit down and you're able to start to list out the things that you're grateful for, you will find that the list is never ending. It really is never ending. And if you dig really deep, I think sometimes we start with the surface level things. My family, my health, you know, just the things that we're super aware of, but we can get even deeper. We can go deeper with that, and we can identify some things that we're grateful for that don't necessarily come to mind at first. For instance, I'm grateful that at my job I have more than one person that I can confide in. And when things get tough in the workplace, I have people that I can talk to. Who will paint a positive picture for me, not just people I can complain with, but people who will uplift me and empower me. That's actually not one of the 10 that I wrote down that I'm going to share on this podcast, but like I said, it's very easy to go beyond the 10. I'm grateful for incense. I just rediscovered incense. I remember when I was younger, my mom used to burn incense. Not always, actually, and I don't even know for an extended period of time. I just remember once upon a time smelling incense, and then I think she got candles, of course, but also the what are those things called? The wax that you burn that was Scentsy. Yeah, it was before Scentsy. It was like Scentsy's grandmother. But anyway, burning wax and candles and all that. So I'm really grateful for incense and I'm grateful for candles. There's just something, I'm lighting up candles right now. There's just something about having a home that feels and smells clean and warm. I'm grateful for Fabulosa. I'm grateful for scents, like smells that are healing and therapeutic. I'm also grateful for my laptop, which is why I've been filling up space, because I'm waiting for my gratitude list to come down, to come up. I typed it and I am going to write these things down. I think there's power in writing things down. But what happened was yesterday I was headed to the market. And so I was like, I definitely want to record a podcast. And so I went ahead and typed it up so that I wouldn't forget what it is that I wanted to say. But let's go to my gratitude list. Drum roll, please. Okay. My my computer is still thinking. So while my computer is still thinking, I'm going to give you something else I'm grateful for. I'm so grateful that I teach children, because teaching children allows me to feel like the expert and to also be humbled daily. I had a student who emailed me maybe the month that school started, so like 2 months ago in August, and I'm now sitting in the beginning of November. And whatever it was, he got right to their request. There was no greeting, there was no how are you doing, there was no I hope this finds you well. There was, you know, just his request, like, what do you want me to do? Should I do this? Should I do that? I don't even think there was a salutation or his name, but of course I knew who it came from because it's email. So I said, I would love to take care. This was my response. Dear kid, I used his name. I would love to take care of your answering your response, but I want you to rewrite this email in an email format. I want you to start with a greeting like, hey, how's it going? And then tell me what you need. And then emails also have salutations, so after you're finished, I want you to write down, not write down, but, you know, to type a closing. And today I got an email from him, and guess what it said? Dear Miss Brenton, question, sincerely, kid. And I was so proud. But it's funny because I was just waking up from a nap and my response to him was, dear kid, here's your answer. Thanks for asking. Salutation. So I wrote him back again and I'm like, sorry, I was just waking up. I forgot to answer your question. I'm doing well. I hope you had a good time at the beach. I'll see you tomorrow. I say all that. I gave you that long story because oftentimes I am ready to correct. I'm a corrector, right? But I'm humbled in my position as a teacher, because what is more is caught than taught. And so a lot of things that I work to teach my students, I still need to make sure that I'm a master of those things. For instance, being very kind and considerate via email. Oftentimes I get straight to the point. I always say, hey, how are you? I hope blah, blah is going well. But then I'm like, hey, answer my question. So that's an area where I can grow. Of course, I'm recording this podcast and my document is not coming up. And I do not want to re-record. I like to keep things raw and real. So I'm just going to jump into recreating my list. I actually am pretty sad about this. So one of the things that I said I was grateful for was worship music, because there is nothing like cranking up some music and allowing the Holy Spirit to just consume you. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God. And I believe that when I make room for him, he consumes my every uttermost part and worship music with some candles or incense and quiet is just absolutely amazing. So I'm grateful for that. Number two, I am so grateful for rain. It rained today. It's been raining a lot lately in Costa Rica. This is rainy season. And the rain allowed me, while I was out, to know that when you get home, you're taking a nap. I needed it, and mentally I knew that, but there was just a physical reminder that I needed to come home and to rest. I've been going this whole weekend, and today has been a long day full of great, wonderful personal self-care productiveness. But the sound of the rain, the feel of the rain, the reminder of the rain that there needs to be a cleansing and a refreshing and a resting was very, very helpful for me today, and is always helpful for me. The third thing that I'm grateful for is for my mental health. Like I said, even when I was really depressed about 5 years ago, I knew that I was depressed. I recognized it, and I also know how to seek help. So I was recognizing I'm not grateful, and that is alarming because I have so much to be grateful for. And so I'm just really, really, really grateful that I have the state of mind where I am aware of self, and I don't have all the answers, but I do understand that I can get to the answers. I have access to them. And I think that's really important. I actually just scheduled a free counseling with the church that I'm a part of here in Costa Rica, a local church, and I made sure that it would be in English and not Espanol, because I can't be counseled in Spanish. I don't know Spanish that well. I could be counseled in English right now, and it's going to be free weekly. I'm going to ask for bi-weekly because I'm busy. Bi-weekly counseling, and I'm just so grateful that I'm in a mind frame. When I'm angry, when I'm jealous, when I'm sad, when I'm ecstatic, when I'm overactive, when I'm exhausted, when I'm holding a grudge, when I am taking things too lightly, I'm aware of those things. And I recognize that that is something to be grateful for, because there were times when I was unaware. And I know that an unawareness of self creates other issues and some chaos. All right, my document came up. I'm so appreciative for my relationship with God. I struggle like everyone else, but something that I can stand firm on that gives me confidence and that gives me strength is that I know the creator of the universe. And that alone relieves so much and gives me so much peace that I can close my eyes or keep them open, that I can speak to the air, to the wind, to the trees, and that an almighty God is hearing and answering and has already taken care of my petitions. The word of God also is something that gives me comfort and peace and joy, and that ties directly into my relationship with God, because he speaks to me through his scriptures. He speaks to me through relationships and through circumstances, and I just feel grateful that I have a relationship with God. I am grateful for my broken heart. This was really hard to write down. But the reason why I'm grateful for my broken heart is because I am a connector by nature. I crave relationships and connection. I love love. I love falling in love, being in love. I love knowing that I've loved. And having a broken heart, having been through heartbreak and through marriage and divorce and through love after that, it keeps me in a place of vulnerability. I've not allowed it to harden my heart, but it's made me open for loves that don't last. And I know that, you know, love endures, and there's scripture about how love is forever. However, what I mean is I'm okay with the heartbreak. I'm okay with this feeling. I survived heartbreak. I survived marriage and divorce. I survived loving and not being loved in return, and loving and letting go. And so that broken heart has allowed me to remain open to love and open to giving, and then also giving without expectation of return. So that when I find that love that gives, that love that is equal in comparison to what I'm giving, I'll know it, I'll recognize it, and I'll be even more grateful for finding that type of love. I'm grateful for my relationship with myself. I talked a little bit about it already with the candles and the incense and the self-awareness, but just self-care and self-love, and creating space when I need to dance around my house, which brings me to my next point of gratitude. I'm grateful that I can dance. Not everybody can dance, y'all. Everybody can move and shake and twist and whatever, but I can dance. And I'm in a place where I get to be a part of a dance company, where I'm learning what my body can do and how to grow in terms of movement and expression and even letting go. And my dance class is a spiritual experience because sometimes I go there and I am frustrated and I am tired and I am worn out either because of my job or because the class is in Spanish. And I've never been in a formal dance class or receive formal instruction over an extended period of time. So this is something new. This is something difficult. And it's something that is not in my language. It's not in English. And so oftentimes I am trying to do what others are trying to do without the language and access to exactly what it is that's being asked of us. Now, of course, the people in my class are great, so I have friends who will translate. I have dance mates who will make sure that I'm on, you know, on the right page. However, it's just it's that dependence on others and the lack of not being the expert and having to grow in an area that is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me, but it's so good for me because that is life. And it's allowed me to be adaptable in a new way and also to be more empathetic, specifically in my classroom, because I work with students who are often English language learners. English may not be their primary language or even their first language. And so I'm learning to feel what they feel or have felt and to modify my instruction in a way that will benefit them, give them what I know that I would want or that I do need. And also I use my experiences a lot in examples in class. I'm like using the comparison of English to Spanish in order to instruct them as an English teacher. I'm grateful for my apartment. My apartment is beautiful and it's small, you guys. I don't even know how many square feet this apartment is, but I would guess 400 because I feel like most apartments are not less than 400, and I don't think it's more than 400. It's a studio apartment. When you walk in, you walk straight and you're in the kitchen, and then you walk a little further and you're in the bedroom, and then if you turn around and walk all the way to where the door was, but on the opposite side, the left-hand side, you're in the bathroom, and if you squeeze into this little corner in the bathroom, you're on the toilet. And I love it. I love it. It's exactly what I need. It's just right for me. It's the right size. It's the right layout. There's even a color scheme in here that is lime green and orange, and that's perfect for me. And then it just so happens some of the artwork that I've purchased fits that color scheme exactly. It's open. I have an incredible view. I can open my windows and it's amazing. I'm grateful for it. Like I enjoy being at home. I'm okay to come home and just sit and be here. I'm grateful to just lay in my bed or lay on the couch. I have a TV in my apartment. I rarely turn it on. I do not remember the last time I turned it on. I believe that it was in February when I had some friends visit. So that would be February is the second month and November is the 11th. So 9 months ago. Maybe more recently, but I really don't think so. I don't turn it on because I'm entertained just by being in my apartment. All right. The next thing that I'm grateful for is the gift of relationship building and holding on. I talked about being a connector and I love it. I love being able to see the potential relationship that could come from an interaction with an individual and exchanging numbers and being okay with like just staying in touch, keeping in touch and going deep with the person or going surface level, like whatever the connection warrants. I'm willing to go there and to build relationships. At my current job, I've built really strong and powerful relationships. I feel like in my dance class, I'm building relationships there, online, reconnecting with people from high school, from college, and then in my adult life. And I believe that that's a gift that I love to practice, a gift I love to use. Conferences, vacations, talking to people on the plane when I'm not tired, because if I'm tired, I'm going to sleep. But if I have energy and you're responsive, we might be best friends after this flight. You know, you never know. I'm grateful for my health, for my family, and for my reach and my dreaming abilities. I lump this all into one because me being healthy is also a blessing. About 3 months ago, I had hyperthyroidism, and that's something that I had lived with for 21 years. But 3 months ago, I had blood work done just to check my levels because I was still taking the medication, but I was feeling kind of strange. And I was thinking, maybe I don't need this medication anymore because I'm feeling the side effects of the disease whilst taking medicine. And what do you know? Something that I have thought about and I have prayed about and asked God, just take it away. I don't want to pass it on to children. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to be popping pills for the rest of my life for this in particular. And the results came back that there was a spontaneous remission. And that's the medical explanation because, you know, science, you got to explain things. There's a reason, right? But I know that I'm healed and healthy and blessed. And that's a beautiful thing. I don't rely or depend on anything. I'm eating better. I'm paying attention to what I'm putting in my body. And it's a blessing and it's so empowering to feel like I have significant influence over what my body feels like and what my body does. I also get regular massages. And last week I went to a psychotherapist who cracked my neck and my back. It sounded terrifying, but the results were great. I feel amazing. My family is so supportive and they're so wonderful and they get me. And I don't think I'm hard to get, but I, you know, might be tough for some to understand, but my family totally understands me. My desire to be free, my desire to have options and express choice, and my desire to be heard and to be understood. And they love and support me, and we've gone through growing pains as any family does. But what I love is that they brought us together, made us stronger and more appreciative of one another. I love my family. I love my family, and I love spending time with them. And in 3 weeks, they will be coming to Costa Rica for some quality time, and I'm excited about that. The last I said, my reach and my dreaming. I constantly have ideas and dreams and thoughts, and what can I do, and where can I go, and what can I see, what can I say, what can I create, what can I make, how can this be better? And I love that God has given me that relationship building ability to be able to really feel that my dreams can be reached and that God can take it to new heights and deeper depths and just extend beyond what I can even imagine. I have family and friends that I talk with every once in a while, but because they follow me on social media or because I'm doing XYZ a thing, our bond and our connection stays intact or even deepens. And I really appreciate that. And I know you might be listening if you haven't cut me off yet. And you're thinking, okay, so she just went through a list of all the things that she wants to brag about, or, you know, how her life is so incredible. Like, why do I care about this episode? And I wanted to go through that for me, number one. So this was a little bit selfish, which is okay. But also for The second reason is you have similar and different things to be grateful for, and I challenge you to dig in. And once you start opening up your mouth in a posture of gratitude, you will realize how bomb your life is and how good you have it and how far you've come and how much you've grown and how much you can be excited about the things to come. I couldn't have done this 5 years ago. It might have not even been as quality even a year ago because I was still somewhat playing the victim or the woe is me or why can't or why shouldn't or why don't or if only. I was playing the if then game, and that game you'll never win. You will never win if then. If only, blah, blah, blah. Then, da, da, da. Right? I'm trying to think of opposite words for if then. Instead of if then, I can't think of it. But what I'm trying to say, instead of saying, if only I made more money, then I would be happy, think, shoot, I have enough. I have enough to do what, I mean, I have enough to make it work. Think of it as something where there's a solution. Be grateful. I've never had to go hungry. I've never had to, I'm about to lie and say, I've never not paid a bill. That's a lie. I've never been locked up for not paying a bill. Yeah, I've never had my livelihood threatened for lack of bill payment. You know, and maybe that's not your story. Maybe you have, but you have something to be grateful. We all have our things. We all have our stuff. We're individuals. And if nothing more than just to challenge you to do it yourself, I wanted you to hear my gratitude list. So if you're listening this evening, it's a Sunday night and we're starting our work week. I believe today is the first day of the week. And so I like to really do today very strategically. I feel at peace. I feel open. My apartment is cleanish and I feel really good about life. And I hope that you're in that place. And if you're not in that place, I want to encourage you and I want to give you hope and, a real example that I too was not there, but I am there now. And it came through recognizing that I did have things to be grateful for and that I could get into a place of gratitude. And I remember consistently praying, Lord, help me to be grateful. Not give me more money, give me a bigger, you know, home, bring a man in my life, give me great bless, you know, no. Help me to be grateful. Help me to see the things in my life that I can be grateful for. Give me a new perspective. Because I know that gratitude is the answer. With that, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Grow by Cassandra. If you don't do anything else until we meet again, I want you to grow. Bye-bye. Life is magical. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Grow by Cassandra. I am so excited to be recording this episode. And the reason why is because I love talking to you, but I also love this topic of gratitude. I had a friend who reached out with a mental health challenge that I shared on my Facebook page, Grow by Cassandra. And I jumped the gun and I started early, but day two is to write down 10 things that you're grateful for. And I love this challenge because I know that there was a time in my life when I was not grateful. I wasn't grateful to be alive. I wasn't grateful for family, for friends. Like, I just didn't have really any gratitude. And it was a time where I was really depressed and hopeless and sad. But at the same time, very self-aware. I was aware that I wasn't grateful. And I was also aware that I had things to be grateful for. But I was honest with myself. And I wasn't grateful. And so fast forward 5 or so years and I'm living in a place of gratitude. I still have some of the same frustrations and the same challenges in my life, but I am in a healthier mental state, and I have learned the power and the tool of gratitude. And so when this challenge came about and I had to write down 10 things, I'm like, oh, that's going to be so hard to just narrow down to 10 things. Because if you sit down and you're able to start to list out the things that you're grateful for, you will find that the list is never ending. It really is never ending. And if you dig really deep, I think sometimes we start with the surface level things. My family, my health, you know, just the things that we're super aware of, but we can get even deeper. We can go deeper with that, and we can identify some things that we're grateful for that don't necessarily come to mind at first. For instance, I'm grateful that at my job I have more than one person that I can confide in. And when things get tough in the workplace, I have people that I can talk to. Who will paint a positive picture for me, not just people I can complain with, but people who will uplift me and empower me. That's actually not one of the 10 that I wrote down that I'm going to share on this podcast, but like I said, it's very easy to go beyond the 10. I'm grateful for incense. I just rediscovered incense. I remember when I was younger, my mom used to burn incense. Not always, actually, and I don't even know for an extended period of time. I just remember once upon a time smelling incense, and then I think she got candles, of course, but also the what are those things called? The wax that you burn that was Scentsy. Yeah, it was before Scentsy. It was like Scentsy's grandmother. But anyway, burning wax and candles and all that. So I'm really grateful for incense, and I'm grateful for candles. There's just something, I'm lighting up candles right now. There's just something about having a home that feels and smells clean and warm. I'm grateful for Fabulosa. I'm grateful for scents, like smells that are healing and therapeutic. I'm also grateful for my laptop, which is why I've been filling up space, because I'm waiting for my gratitude list to come down, to come up. I typed it, and I am going to write these things down. I think there's power in writing things down. But what happened was, yesterday I was headed to the market, and so I was like, I definitely want to record a podcast, and so I went ahead and typed it up so that I wouldn't forget what it is that I wanted to say. But let's go to my gratitude list. Drum roll, please. Okay. My computer is still thinking. So while my computer is still thinking, I'm going to give you something else I'm grateful for. I'm so grateful that I teach children, because teaching children allows me to feel like the expert and to also be humbled daily. I had a student who emailed me maybe the month that school started, so like 2 months ago in August, and I'm now sitting in the beginning of November. And whatever it was, he got right to their request. There was no greeting, there was no how are you doing, there was no I hope this finds you well. There was, you know, just his request, like, what do you want me to do? Should I do this? Should I do that? I don't even think there was a salutation or his name, but of course I knew who it came from because it's email. So I said, I would love to take care. This was my response. Dear kid, I used his name. I would love to take care of your answering your response, but I want you to rewrite this email in an email format. I want you to start with a greeting like, hey, how's it going? And then tell me what you need. And then emails also have salutations, so after you're finished, I want you to write down, not write down, but, you know, to type a closing. And today I got an email from him, and guess what it said? Dear Miss Brenton, question, sincerely, kid. And I was so proud. But it's funny because I was just waking up from a nap and my response to him was, "Dear kid, here's your answer. Thanks for asking. Salutation." So I wrote him back again and I'm like, "Sorry, I was just waking up. I forgot to answer your question. I'm doing well. I hope you had a good time at the beach. I'll see you tomorrow." I say all that. I gave you that long story because oftentimes I am ready to correct. I'm a corrector, right? But I'm humbled in my position as a teacher because what is more is caught than taught. And so a lot of things that I work to teach my students, I still need to make sure that I'm a master of those things. For instance, being very kind and considerate via email. Oftentimes I get straight to the point. I always say, "Hey, how are you? I hope blah, blah is going well." But then I'm like, "Hey, answer my question." So that's an area where I can grow. Of course, I'm recording this podcast and my document is not coming up and I do not want to re-record. I like to keep things raw and real. So I'm just going to jump into recreating my list. I actually am pretty sad about this. So one of the things that I said I was grateful for was worship music, because there is nothing like cranking up some music and allowing the Holy Spirit to just consume you. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God. And I believe that when I make room for Him, He consumes my every uttermost part. And worship music with some candles or incense and quiet is just absolutely amazing. So I'm grateful for that. Number two, I am so grateful for rain. It rained today. It's been raining a lot lately in Costa Rica. This is rainy season. And the rain allowed me, while I was out, to know that when you get home, you're taking a nap. I needed it, and mentally I knew that, but there was just a physical reminder that I needed to come home and to rest. I've been going this whole weekend, and today has been a long day full of great, wonderful personal self-care productiveness. But the sound of the rain, the feel of the rain, the reminder of the rain that there needs to be a cleansing and a refreshing and a resting was very, very helpful for me today and is always helpful for me. The third thing that I'm grateful for is for my mental health. Like I said, even when I was really depressed about 5 years ago, I knew that I was depressed. I recognized it, and I also know how to seek help. So I was recognizing I'm not grateful, and that is alarming because I have so much to be grateful for. And so I'm just really, really, really grateful that I have the state of mind where I am aware of self, and I don't have all the answers, but I do understand that I can get to the answers. I have access to them. And I think that's really important. I actually just scheduled a free counseling with the church that I'm a part of here in Costa Rica, a local church, and I made sure that it would be in English and not Espanol because I can't be counseled in Spanish. I don't know Spanish that well. I could be counseled in English right now, and it's going to be free weekly. I'm going to ask for bi-weekly because I'm busy. Bi-weekly counseling, and I'm just so grateful that I'm in a mind frame. When I'm angry, when I'm jealous, when I'm sad, when I'm ecstatic, when I'm overactive, when I'm exhausted, when I'm holding a grudge, when I am taking things too lightly, I'm aware of those things. And I recognize that that is something to be grateful for, because there were times when I was unaware. And I know that an unawareness of self creates other issues and some chaos. All right, my document came up. I'm so appreciative for my relationship with God. I struggle like everyone else, but something that I can stand firm on that gives me confidence and that gives me strength is that I know the creator of the universe. And that alone relieves so much and gives me so much peace that I can close my eyes or keep them open, that I can speak to the air, to the wind, to the trees, and that an almighty God is hearing and answering and has already taken care of my petitions. The word of God also is something that gives me comfort and peace and joy, and that ties directly into my relationship with God, because he speaks to me through his scriptures. He speaks to me through relationships and through circumstances. And I just feel grateful that I have a relationship with God. I am grateful for my broken heart. This was really hard to write down. But the reason why I'm grateful for my broken heart is because I am a connector by nature. I crave relationships and connection. I love love. I love falling in love, being in love. I love knowing that I've loved. And having a broken heart, having been through heartbreak and through marriage and divorce and through love after that, it keeps me in a place of vulnerability. I've not allowed it to harden my heart, but it's made me open for loves that don't last. And I know that, you know, love endures, and there's scripture about how love is forever. However, what I mean is I'm okay with the heartbreak. I'm okay with this feeling. I survived heartbreak. I survived marriage and divorce. I survived loving and not being loved in return, and loving and letting go. And so that broken heart has allowed me to remain open to love and open to giving, and then also giving without expectation of return, so that when I find that love that gives, that love that is equal in comparison to what I'm giving, I'll know it, I'll recognize it, and I'll be even more grateful for finding that type of love. I'm grateful for my relationship with myself. I talked a little bit about it already with the candles and the incense and the self-awareness, but just self-care and self-love, and creating space when I need to dance around my house, which brings me to my next point of gratitude. I'm grateful that I can dance. Not everybody can dance, y'all. Everybody can move and shake and twist and whatever, but I can dance. And I'm in a place where I get to be a part of a dance company, where I'm learning what my body can do and how to grow in terms of movement and expression and even letting go. And my dance class is a spiritual experience, because sometimes I go there and I am frustrated and I am tired and I am worn out, either because of my job or because the class is in Spanish. And I've never been in a formal dance class or receive formal instruction over an extended period of time. So this is something new. This is something difficult, and it's something that is not in my language. It's not in English. And so oftentimes I am trying to do what others are trying to do without the language and access to exactly what it is that's being asked of us. Now, of course, the people in my class are great. So I have friends who will translate. I have dance mates who will make sure that I'm on, you know, on the right page. However, it's just, it's that dependence on others and the lack of, what's the word? Not being the expert and having to grow in an area that is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me, but it's so good for me because that is life, and it's allowed me to be adaptable in a new way, and also to be more empathetic, specifically in my classroom, because I work with students who are often English language learners. English may not be their primary language or even their first language. And so I'm learning to feel what they feel or have felt and to modify my instruction in a way that will benefit them, give them what I know that I would want or that I do need. And also I use my experiences a lot in examples in class. I'm like using the comparison of English to Spanish in order to instruct them as an English teacher. I'm grateful for my apartment. My apartment is beautiful and it's small, you guys. I don't even know how many square feet this apartment is, but I would guess 400 because I feel like most apartments are not less than 400, and I don't think it's more than 400. It's a studio apartment. When you walk in, you walk straight and you're in the kitchen, and then you walk a little further and you're in the bedroom, and then if you turn around and walk all the way to where the door was, but on the opposite side, the left-hand side, you're in the bathroom, and if you squeeze into this little corner in the bathroom, you're on the toilet. And I love it. I love it. It's exactly what I need. It's just right for me. It's the right size. It's the right layout. There's even a color scheme in here that is lime green and orange, and that's perfect for me. And then it just so happens some of the artwork that I've purchased fits that color scheme exactly. It's open. I have an incredible view. I can open my windows, and it's amazing. I'm grateful for it. Like, I enjoy being at home. I'm okay to come home and just sit and be here. I'm grateful to just lay in my bed or lay on the couch. I have a TV in my apartment. I rarely turn it on. I do not remember the last time I turned it on. I believe that it was in February when I had some friends visit. So that would be February is the second month and November is the 11th. So 9 months ago. Maybe more recently, but I really don't think so. I don't turn it on because I'm entertained just by being in my apartment. All right, the next thing that I'm grateful for is the gift of relationship building and holding on. I talked about being a connector, and I love it. I love being able to see the potential relationship that could come from an interaction with an individual and exchanging numbers and being okay with, like, just staying in touch, keeping in touch, and going deep with the person or going surface level. Like, whatever the connection warrants, I'm willing to go there and to build relationships. At my current job, I've built really strong and powerful relationships. I feel like in my dance class, I'm building relationships there, online, reconnecting with people from high school, from college, and then in my adult life. And I believe that that's a gift that I love to practice, a gift I love to use. Conferences, vacations, talking to people on the plane when I'm not tired, because if I'm tired, I'm going to sleep. But if I have energy and you're responsive, we might be best friends after this flight. You know, you never know. I'm grateful for my health, for my family, and for my reach and my dreaming abilities. I lump this all into one because me being healthy is also a blessing. About 3 months ago, I had hyperthyroidism, and that's something that I had lived with for 21 years. But 3 months ago, I had blood work done just to check my levels because I was still taking the medication, but I was feeling kind of strange, and I was thinking, maybe I don't need this medication anymore because I'm feeling the side effects of the disease whilst taking medicine. And what do you know? Something that I have thought about and I have prayed about and asked God, just take it away. I don't want to pass it on to children. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to be popping pills for the rest of my life for this in particular. And the results came back that there was a spontaneous remission. And that's the medical explanation because, you know, science, you got to explain things. There's a reason, right? But I know that I'm healed and healthy and blessed. And that's a beautiful thing. I don't rely or depend on anything. I'm eating better. I'm paying attention to what I'm putting in my body. And it's a blessing. And it's so empowering to feel like I have significant influence over what my body feels like and what my body does. I also get regular massages. And last week I went to a psychotherapist who cracked my neck and my back. It sounded terrifying, but the results were great. I feel amazing. My family is so supportive and they're so wonderful and they get me. And I don't think I'm hard to get, but I... You know, might be tough for some to understand, but my family totally understands me. My desire to be free, my desire to have options and express choice, and my desire to be heard and to be understood. And they love and support me, and we've gone through growing pains, as any family does. But what I love is that they brought us together, made us stronger and more appreciative of one another. I love my family. I love my family, and I love spending time with them. And in 3 weeks, they will be coming to Costa Rica for some quality time, and I'm excited about that. The last I said, my reach and my dreaming. I constantly have ideas and dreams and thoughts, and what can I do and where can I go and what can I see, what can I say, what can I create, what can I make, how can this be better? And I love that God has given me that relationship building ability to be able to really feel that my dreams can be reached and that God can take it to new heights and deeper depths and just extend beyond what I can even imagine. I have family and friends that I talk with every once in a while, but because they follow me on social media or because I'm doing XYZ a thing, our bond and our connection stays intact or even deepens. And I really appreciate that. And I know you might be listening, if you haven't cut me off yet, and you're thinking, okay, so she just went through a list of all the things that she wants to brag about, or, you know, how her life is so incredible. Like, why do I care about this episode? And I wanted to go through that for me, number one. So this was a little bit selfish, which is okay. But also for the second reason is you have similar and different things to be grateful for. And I challenge you to dig in. And once you start opening up your mouth in a posture of gratitude, you will realize how bomb your life is and how good you have it and how far you've come and how much you've grown and how much you can be excited about the things to come. I couldn't have done this 5 years ago. It might have not even been as quality even a year ago because I was still somewhat playing the victim or the woe is me or why can't or why shouldn't or why don't or if only. I was playing the if then game, and that game you'll never win. You will never win if then. If only blah, blah, blah. Then da, da, da. Right? I'm trying to think of opposite words for if then. Instead of if then, I can't think of it. But what I'm trying to say, instead of saying, if only I made more money, then I would be happy, think, shoot, I have enough. I have enough to do what, I mean, I have enough to make it work. Think of it as something where there's a solution. Be grateful. I've never had to go hungry. I've never had to, I'm about to lie and say, I've never not paid a bill. That's a lie. I've never been locked up for not paying a bill. Yeah, I've never had my livelihood threatened for lack of bill payment, you know? And maybe that's not your story. Maybe you have, but you have something to be grateful. We all have our things. We all have our stuff. We're individuals. And if nothing more than just to challenge you to do it yourself, I wanted you to hear my gratitude list. So if you're listening this evening, it's a Sunday night and we're starting our work week. I believe today is the first day of the week. And so I like to really do today very strategically. I feel at peace. I feel open. My apartment is cleanish and I feel really good about life, and I hope that you're in that place. And if you're not in that place, I want to encourage you and I want to give you hope and a real example that I too was not there, but I am there now. And it came through recognizing that I did have things to be grateful for and that I could get into a place of gratitude. And I remember consistently and constantly praying, Lord, help me to be grateful. Not give me more money, give me a bigger, home, bring a man in my life, give me great, bless, you know, no. Help me to be grateful. Help me to see the things in my life that I can be grateful for. Give me a new perspective, because I know that gratitude is the answer. With that, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Grow by Cassandra. If you don't do anything else until we meet again, I want you to grow. Bye-bye.